fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Well, welcome to Monday. Hello, America. Looks like we're in trouble with Russia now. Thank you, New York Times. New York Times ran a story that the president has said is treasonous. I don't agree with him on that. I'm actually happy to read this, that we're actually doing something about it. However, let's remember that Putin said World War III is going to be fought with ones and zeros. So we are just entering another stage of this global game that I believe will end in World War III. We'll get into that and what it means to you in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Okay, I want you to really understand that mortgage rates, even a seemingly small decline in interest rates, can have a big impact on your home affordability. And the other way is true as well. If interest rates start to rise, you're going to have a hard time paying for your mortgage if you have an adjustable loan. Now, mortgage rates look like they're going to go down again, which is a pretty big deal. In many ways. One, it'll make your price of your loan or your home more affordable, but also that doesn't signal great things for the global economy. If you are looking to buy a home, you're probably not going to find mortgage rates as low as they are or will be here in the next few months. In a very long time, I think, possibly ever. AmericanFinancing.net is the place that I would go and call them at 800-906-2440. They are the mortgage consultants that I trust. They're the mortgage consultants that don't get people wrapped up in mortgages they cannot afford. And they work not on commission, but salary. And so it doesn't matter if they sell you a mortgage or not. And remember, that's what banks are doing. They're selling you a mortgage. They're not giving you a loan. They're selling it to you. And so somebody on your side is really important. Working just with a salesperson at the bank is not the best idea. Working with American Financing, do your own homework, is the best idea. AmericanFinancing.net. Call them now, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net. Today's show is one I've wanted to do for months, and I haven't been able to, I haven't been able to get it in my mind exactly right yet, and I've decided just to do it, even though I don't feel it's exactly right, but I feel an urgency, and have for quite some time, to talk to you about a few things. And if you have a chance to listen to today's show, listen as long as you possibly can, or go back and listen to the podcast. You'll find this show every day on podcast, on iTunes, or wherever you find your podcast, and you can listen to it at your convenience. But today, I think, is an important one, and we're going to start by talking about what was in the New York Times. I don't know if you read it or you just read the headlines, but the New York Times has come out with something that the president says is treason. And I guess I can understand that, but I don't agree with it because it was all vetted, apparently, and it states it in the article, through the State Department and the NSA and John Bolton. But here's the basic gist of the story. Let me just give you the first paragraph. The United States is stepping up digital incursions into Russia's electric power grid in a warning to President Putin in a demonstration of how the Trump administration is using new authorities to deploy cyber tools more aggressively, current and former government officials say. Now, this is the problem with it. They say it's current and former officials, and so it's the unnamed sources. In interviews over the past 3 months, the officials described the previously unreported deployment of American computer code inside Russia's grid and other targets as classified companion to a more publicly discussed action directed at Moscow's disinformation and hacking units around the 2018 midterm elections. Advocates for the more aggressive strategy say it's long overdue after years of public warnings from the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI that Russia has inserted malware that could sabotage American power plants, oil and gas pipelines, or water supplies in any future conflict within the United States. Okay, this to me is good news. This to me is something that we have been talking to you forever about. We have been begging someone in the government to pay attention to this. Putin says that we are already in World War III. He made this announcement to a group of Western reporters, probably about 4 years ago. And he said, the governments of the West just don't understand it yet. But the next war is going to be all ones and zeros. And so there's not going to be necessarily bombs falling from the sky with us. They will shut off the electric grid. Now imagine if you fry our electric grid, the chaos that would ensue just in a week. But if you could find a way like an EMP to destroy us, 95% of all Americans die within the first year if you just keep our electricity off. Let me say that again. If Russia could find a way to keep our electricity off, 95% of the U.S. population dies within the first 12 months. Now, that is quite a statement. That's much more powerful than any nuclear weapon. And all you have to do is just lob a few ones and zeros over our way. Russia has already said that this is the way we will fight World War III. I don't know if we're going to fight World War III. I hope we don't. But the only thing that kept the world in balance was mutually assured destruction. Now, this does not work in cases like Iran. Mutually assured destruction does not matter to them because they are trying to. Now, this is very controversial to say, and I know a lot in the media will disagree with this, but all you have to do is read their words and take people at their word. When they say they're going to kill you, you should take them at their word. It's the reason why in 99 I saw Osama bin Laden as a threat and said that he would blow up buildings and there would be body and blood and buildings in the streets of Manhattan before the next decade, or I said the next 10 years, and it would have Osama bin Laden's name on it. It was called crazy at the time. But it was not a prediction. It was looking at his words and saying, this is what he says he's going to do. Let's believe him and prepare. We didn't. Same thing with ISIS and the caliphate. We didn't take them seriously. You have to take Iran seriously. They believe that if they can cause chaos by shutting down or destroying America and Israel, they will hasten the return of the promised one. Think of it as, you know, think of it as a group of crazy Christians who are like, you know what? I'm tired of waiting for the second coming. So I'm just going to make sure that I help cause Armageddon. That's what the Iranians believe they are compelled to do. So let's take them seriously. The reason why they won't care about this is because they are cave dwellers. And I don't mean that as literal as it sounds. What I mean is their system is not as advanced as ours. When's the last time you use cash? Think of that. When's the last time you said, I got to go to the bank and get cash? When's the last time you filled up your tank and went inside and gave cash to the guy? Or to the woman? I'm so sorry for making that awful stereotype. We rely on a system that replenishes our supermarket shelves 12 times a day. There are deliveries coming to the average supermarket 10 to 12 times a day. You cancel that for 3 days and our supermarket shelves are empty. You cut our electricity off and we have no cash. You cut our electricity off. You cut our communications out. We can't communicate with one another. We have no idea what's going on. We can't call 911. The world falls into chaos. The people who are living, you know, more like the 1970s even, don't have as much to lose. Those in Afghanistan that really have spotty electricity, they don't care at all. Russia is probably one of the only ones that we can keep at bay with mutually assured destruction. China probably doesn't care as much, although it is their cities are so controlled now by electronics, they are probably starting to care more and more. But the mass population of China won't see a difference if the modern world goes away. Advocates of the more aggressive strategy says it's long overdue, quoting the New York Times, after years of public warnings from the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI. But it also can carry significant risk of escalating the daily digital cold war between Washington and Moscow. Guys, we're not starting this. We're not hacking into their elections. They hacked into ours. The administration declined to describe specific actions it was taking under the new authorities. Now listen to this, which were granted separately by the White House and Congress last year to the United States Cyber Command, the arm of the Pentagon that runs the military's offensive and defensive operations in the online world. Stu, write this down. We have to do a show on Cyber Command. But in a public appearance Tuesday, President Trump's national security advisor, John Bolton, said the United States was now taking a broader view of potential digital targets as part of an effort to say to Russia or anyone else, quoting, that is engaged in cyber operations against us, you will pay a price, end quote. Power grids have been a low-intensity battleground for years. Since 2012, current and former officials say the United States has put reconnaissance probes into the control systems of the Russian electric grid. But now the American strategy has shifted more towards offense, officials say, with the placement of potentially crippling malware inside Russian systems at a depth and with an aggressiveness that has never been tried before. It is intended partly as a warning and partly to be poised as a direct cyber strike if a major conflict broke out between Moscow and Russia. The commander said that it's time to defend forward. They don't fear us, he said to the Senate a year ago during his confirmation hearings. But finding a way to calibrate those responses so they deter attacks without inciting dangerous escalation has been the source of constant debate. Mr. Trump issued new authorities to Cyber Command last summer in a still classified document known as the National Security Presidential Memorandum 13, giving General Nakasone far more leeway to conduct offensive online operations without receiving presidential approval. So when people said, well, the president probably didn't know about it, could be. Because he gave this far-reaching authority to Cyber Command last summer. The action inside the Russian electric grid appears to have been conducted under little-known new legal authorities. Listen to the way this is slipped in to the military authorization bill passed by Congress last summer. This is why we don't do those big omnibus. The measure approved the routine conduct of clandestine military activity in cyberspace to deter, safeguard, or defend against attacks or malicious cyber activities against the United States. Now, I'm wondering if that gives them the authority to do that in country or only out of the country. Under these laws, these actions can now be authorized by the Defense Secretary without presidential approval. This is bad. This is really bad. You don't keep giving power to different authorities. I don't know when we're going to get that, but nobody in Washington seems to get it yet. More on this and what it means and what you can do about it coming up in just a second. First, let me tell you about Relief Factor. If you are in pain, millions of Americans have changed their quality of life for the better. I have met with members of this audience who have real debilitating pain, and their stories, really, before they started taking Relief Factor, are heartbreaking. I know what it's like to live in real pain. They've told me stories of how they were hopeless because their lives cascaded into a fog of heavy pain medications. The worst. And it led to terrible choices, terrible consequences. Most of Relief Factor's clients are people who just can't enjoy taking a walk or playing golf or just playing with their kids or grandkids. But the results are the same. 70% of the people who take Relief Factor get their life back. 70% of the people who just try the 3-week quick start take it day after day, month after month. And in my case, it's starting to come up on 2 years. Relief Factor, it works. Help control the inflammation in your body. Help control the pain with Relief Factor. If you want a drug-free and natural way to ease your pain and get your life back, go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. 10 seconds, station ID. So I just want to give you a couple of other things. Both Nakasone and Mr. Bolton, through a spokesman, declined to answer questions about the incursions into Russia's grid. Officials of the National Security Council also declined to comment, but said that they had no national security concerns about the details of the New York Times reporting about the targeting of the Russian grid, perhaps an indication that some of the intrusions were intended to be noticed by the Russians. Of course they were. Of course they were. Do you honestly think that we're better off by making sure that the Russians don't know anything? If so, why did the Russians release the tape of the hyperspeed missile? Happened 2 weeks ago. If you see it, it's like a bullet coming out of a gun. It is not like a missile coming out of the ground. It's unbelievable. Why did they want the world to see that? They wanted to see what they wanted us to see what they were doing as a warning. So some of this stuff is a warning. Now, so far, there's nothing in this article that is surprising. And I wouldn't be surprised if the president, trying to keep his negotiation power, is doing two things. One, playing the innocent, I didn't know anything about that. I had no idea about that. He signed it. He knows about it. But this gives him, you know, some possible credibility when sitting down at the table with Moscow of, you know what, Vlad, a little out of control there. I'll talk to him. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that may be what he was doing there. Also, the president is fighting for his life on an election. And I'm sure Stu will get into the election results that we have seen now. The polling numbers, not too good for the president, and he's got to win. And he knows that the press is doing everything they can to destroy him. Personally, I think that this is good. If I were the president, I would have come out and said, you know what? Damn right. Damn right we're doing that. These guys meddled in our elections, but the press has already set a trap up for him on that. They meddled with our elections. They've already said we're in World War III. We don't want to be in World War III, but we will be prepared. And we know that they have already done these things to us. And so, yes, our cyber command is up and running. And I feel pretty good about that. And Americans should sleep well because we are protecting this country. We're doing everything we can. And the one thing I have control over is cyberspace. And so we are working to protect this country. Now I'd like to get to work and protect this country from our southern border and what's happening there. There's disease that is starting to run out of control. We could fix this quickly. Get the Democrats to sit down at the table. I think that would have been a good way for him to handle this. Now, with this being said, I want to couple this with what we have learned from the last couple of weeks. Here we have a known enemy that is trying to cripple us. We know that if World War III, God forbid, ever does break out, we know that the life that we currently live will be disrupted. May not be over, but it will be disrupted. We hope that our people can disrupt them faster than they can disrupt us and get us back onto our feet. But we know that this is coming, if not in our lifetime, our children's lifetime, and it's going to be a big burden. Everything we have is digital. Now, that's not the only threat to everything we have. The other threat is political. The other threat is also digital, but it is political. Look how fast we could all be erased. Look how fast history could be erased, because almost everything now is online. How many actually read a book? And by the way, any book that was written after anywhere between 1880 and 1920, the paper was changed and it will eventually turn to dust. Old books prior to 1880, they don't have this problem. But our history literally can be erased and eventually will go to dust. What is the possibility of that? Is that probable? Let me give you a couple of examples and show you what we should do about it. Next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
If you're a regular listener, then you know that I support the United States Concealed Carry Association. They are one of the best self-defense education, training, and legal protection out there for armed Americans, responsibly armed Americans. Plus, they have an awesome giveaway right now. They want to introduce themselves to you and show you what they can do for you. And they thought, you know, we could just say, hey, you know, come visit our website. But they decided to do something else. They decided to do something, I think, very ballsy in today's world, and that's give away free guns. If you've missed it so far, the USCCA has been giving away free guns every single day this month, but it ends this Friday, the 21st. What you need to do, if you want to win a brand new gun, could be 17 SIGs, could be 17 Glocks or Kimbers, it could be an AR-15. It ends this Friday, June 21st. What you have to do, just to get involved, just text Glenn, G-L-E-N-N, to the number 87222. Text 87222 and put the word Glenn in. Text Glenn to the number 87222 and you could win a new gun from the USCCA.
Jump on board blazetv.com/Glenn. Use the promo code Glenn to save $10. One of the shows you'll get access to is Pat Gray Unleashed. Pat, coming up next.
According to the FBI, the average loss in burglary is about $2,000 or just above. Now, that can be hard to recover from. Even so, only one in five have home security. And I think it's mainly because the security companies make it so hard to get security. But SimpliSafe is different. Their system protects every door, every window, every room with 24/7 professional monitoring. With SimpliSafe, there's no contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. It's designed to blend right into your home without wires, without drilling. It's easy to order. It's easy to set up. You can usually do it in under an hour. And the system has won tons of awards, from CNET to the New York Times Wirecutter. Around-the-clock monitoring, $15 a month without a contract. If you go to simplysafe.com/Glenn, you're going to get a free HD security camera when you order. That's $100 value. So get your free HD security camera now by going to simplysafe.com/Glenn. Order today. simplysafe.com/Glenn. simplysafe.com/Glenn. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. It's Monday, and I want to talk to you about some things, and this is all going to be taken out of context. This is all going to be made into conspiracy theories, etc., etc. Pay no attention to that. Always, always go to the original source and listen in context. So whatever this is going to turn into, you know, through the media, whatever, tell your friends, always go back to the original source and listen. But I feel compelled, and have been for a while, but I haven't known how to talk to you about this. And I just decided, you know, last week, I'm just going to do it. So I want to make it really clear. what I talked about here at the beginning of the show was what's happening with Russia and the United States in cyber ops. And they are looking for ways to be able basically to shut our power off, and we're looking for a way to shut their power off in, God forbid, a cyber war. Putin has already said World War III would be fought with ones and zeros. He says we're already in World War III. They're already trying to make us doubt our elections by hacking in. We know that they did this in Chicago. We know people have penetrated our power grid. Are we doing anything about it? New York Times came out and said, yes, we are. The president was upset about this, but I don't think he should be. I think this is a sign of real strength. I'm glad to know we're doing cyber operations. But there is another way for things to be destroyed, and that is political correctness. And we're already seeing this happening with the silencing of voices, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I want you to know that it's not like any other time before, where if somebody said something and you know, Hitler wanted to, you know, make sure that they weren't heard from again, all you had to do was hide their books or hide their printed speeches or whatever. Now, you don't have any books. You don't have any printed speeches. Most people have everything digital. So when you want to ban Steven Crowder, if they wanted to ban Steven Crowder, all of his stuff is up on YouTube. They own the rights to it. By putting things on YouTube and by putting things on Facebook, if it's first run, they own the rights. So everything that you've ever put on Facebook or YouTube or any of these things, you don't own anymore. And so if they want to erase you, it's gone. Think about all of your pictures that you have. You have them most likely downloaded on a computer. If that, God forbid, we are hit by some cyber weapon, all of that history is gone. So what are you going to do? We need to preserve things because there are two fronts that we're fighting on. One is an insane cyber attack, which I hope will never happen. I wish I could say I don't think it will, but I don't know anymore. But an insane global cyber attack, which would affect all of us in the world in a horrible way, and millions, hundreds of millions of people would die. The second is just 1984 or Brave New World, where things just start to disappear. You don't actually own the movies that you buy from iTunes. They have those movies, they have those songs, and they have rights to those songs, and they have to renew those rights. If, for instance, and this is going to happen, Disney says, we're going to start our own service, and so, you know what, you can't buy any Disney things over at iTunes. You have to buy them from us. When those rights expire, those titles that were Disney, Marvel, they will just disappear from your catalog. You paid for them. You bought them. But you don't own them. It's actually a rental system. So if you want to destroy somebody and they become politically incorrect, you just erase them. So what does that mean for books? What does that mean for movies? What does that mean for songs? What does that mean for anything or anybody that is deemed politically incorrect? I think we need to save them, preserve them. And I think we need to hold them in non-digital form, because I think you could lose everything quickly. And even if it's just political in nature, look at what's happening in Great Britain. In Great Britain, it's becoming illegal to say the truth. It's becoming illegal to even joke. You can't now, Stu, what was the story today from Great Britain where you can't have any kind of dangerous stereotypes? Yeah. I love that because they never define that. Dangerous stereotypes in any advertising.
Yeah, they gave, I think, 6 months lead time for these companies to figure out how to avoid all their dangerous stereotypes. And they talk about how it's like you can show a man working hard in a construction, you know, field, that's okay. But it's not okay to say, to then say, well, he doesn't know what he's doing around the house. And I, when I first heard that, I'm like, well, so they're protecting men, so it looks like they're not incompetent. No, what that means is that only women know what they're doing around the house, and that's why it's bad. Because women can't be shown to, you know, only be capable of doing these household chores. And, like, you know, I don't know what year it was. We used to do these things on Pat and Stu all the time. These old-timey, like, 1940s, you know, ads where it really was sexist. Yeah. I mean, hardcore sexism. Really, right. though, the only time you see that now, I mean, guys are constantly portrayed in these ads as being completely incompetent boobs that don't know how to do
dangerous.
Anything. Right, that's not dangerous, I
guess. That's not a dangerous stereotype, no.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you can't, like, they showed another example of, you can't say that a woman is a bad driver, right? If you show a woman driving poorly, that means that you're perpetuating that negative stereotype, and that would be wrong and is banned now. I mean, first of all, you have a moment of wow, you know, this First Amendment thing was a good idea, and I'm kind of glad we kept it. But
I thought the exact same thing when I read it. Thought the same thing. Boy, are we lucky we have the First and Second and all of the amendments.
Right, because
they could have taken it away quickly.
It's the only thing stopping this from being the United States, right? I mean, like, culturally, we are completely there. They would be absolutely out here banning every bit of hate speech. And many of these companies are doing it anyway. They can't do it through the government right now. But, I mean, this is complete reality for us, and the only thing protecting it is the First Amendment, and even that is, you know, as you know, has been discussed. Sketchy, yes, at this point.
Yeah, sketchy. And then there's also the simple truths of life. For instance, Pat, there's a new My Little Pony series that's coming up.
Yeah, this week, a couple of new characters are going to be introduced to the My Little Pony Discovery Family Channel, and they're going to be a new lesbian couple. And to avoid any ambiguity whatsoever, the writer of the cartoon came out and said, because he didn't want anybody to be confused, he tweeted out, "They are lesbians. Diversity and representation are important for kids for so many reasons, and it's my first priority on everything I work on. My Little Pony has always been about friendship and accepting people or ponies that are different from you, so it just felt like something important to do." How about not presenting, well, let's present sex. Zero characters based on sexuality for children. How about that? Are any of the My Little Ponies heterosexual? No, because they've never talked about any kind of sex going on, as far as I know, on My Little Ponies. So why is this important? And the fact is, it isn't. In fact, it's important not to let our kids be kids. Can you not just leave that to us? And we'll explain that when the time comes.
No.
And we'll talk to them
no,
about
because
that.
Because you're a hater.
Right.
You're a hater.
Yep.
And there are too many haters. Let me give you something here that has to be preserved. And I don't care what religion you are. This came out in 1995. And it was issued as a warning of what was coming and a stance to make sure that people knew that these things were God ordained. Now, this particular document has been used now by Pope Francis. Francis took some of these out. Other religions are starting to take pieces of this out. In, I think, 2016, Francis asked for this document and then did one of his communication, you know, one of his big, I don't know what they call, but declarations from the Pope based on this. This came from my church. "We solemnly proclaim that marriage between a man and a woman is ordained of God and that the family is central to the Creator's plan for the internal destiny of his children. All human beings, male and female, are created in the image of God. Each is a beloved spirit, son or daughter of heavenly parents, and as such, each has a divine nature and destiny. Gender," now this is in 1995, "gender is an essential characteristic of individual, premortal, mortal, and eternal identity and purpose. In the premortal realm, spirit sons and daughters knew and worshiped God as their eternal father and accepted his plan by which his children could obtain a physical body and gain earthly experience to progress towards perfection and ultimately realize their divine destiny as heirs of eternal life. The divine plan of happiness enables family relationships to be perpetuated beyond the grave. Sacred ordinances and covenants available, blah, 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 blah. The first commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve pertained to their potential for parenthood as husband and wife. We declare that God's commandment for his children to multiply and replenish the earth remains in force. We further declare that God has commanded that the sacred powers of procreation are to be employed only between man and woman, lawfully wedded as husband and wife. We declare the means by which mortal life is created to be divinely appointed. We affirm the sanctity of life and its importance in God's eternal plan. Husband and wife have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are a heritage of the Lord, Psalms 127. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness. Hang on just a second. To provide for their physical and spiritual needs and to teach them love and serve one another, observe the commandments of God, and be law-abiding citizens wherever they live. Husband and wives, mothers and fathers will be held accountable before God. The family is ordained by God. Marriage between a man and a woman is essential to his eternal plan. Children are entitled to birth within the bonds of matrimony and reared by a father and mother who honor marital vows with complete fidelity. Happiness in family life is most likely to be achieved when founded upon the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Successful marriages and families are established and maintained on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities. By divine design, fathers are to preside over their families in love and righteousness and are responsible to provide for the necessities of life and protection of their families. Mothers are primarily responsible for the nurture of their children. In these sacred responsibilities, fathers and mothers are obligated to help one another as equal partners. Disability, death, or other circumstances may necessitate individual adaptation. Extended families should lend support when needed. We warn that individuals who violate these covenants of chastity, who abuse spouse or offspring, or who have failed to fulfill family responsibilities will one day stand accountable before God. We further warn that the disintegration of the family will bring upon individuals, communities, and nations the calamities foretold by ancient and modern prophets. We call upon responsible citizens and governments and officers of governments everywhere to promote these measures designed to maintain and strengthen the family as a fundamental unit of society. In 1994, everyone said, "What the heck is that all about?" Look at it now. And I guarantee just by reading it on the air, there will be people that will come out and say, "Look at this fundamentalist monster." Things like that must be preserved because things like that are true and they are going to come under attack. Go look for it in Wikipedia. You'll find the story about it, but you won't find the text, which I thought was interesting because if I look for the Declaration of Independence, I find the text as well as the story. These things will be erased. And we must preserve them. And I want to get into that next hour. More in just a second. By the way, that's called the Family Proclamation. Woman in Michigan is at work when she gets a call from Simply Safe Home Security. Her alarm is going off. And Simply Safe says, there's a man in your house. She says, it's probably just my landlord. And she said, not if your landlord is a friend with your dog, because this guy broke into your house and is now trying to defend himself against your dog with one of your lamps. She's like, you should call police. I thought so. Police were moved her alarm alert from the bottom of the list to the top of the list 3.5 times faster because they have eyes on. So when you have an alarm trip, they call you and say, your alarm's gone off. If you are out of the house, they say, can we look into the house? They look into the house and they find out if somebody is actually you know, breaking in. When they find that and they have visual verification, they call 911 and you get police responding faster. No other service does this for you. None. It's the best in the country. It's SimplySafeBeck.com. Probably the world, but I don't want to speak because we're no better than anybody else. SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. Go there now. Get your free HD security camera, $100 off when you order. It's a $100 value right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. SimplySafeBeck.com. Welcome to the program. We're glad you're here. We're just talking about how crazy the world has become so rapidly. And, you know, when you go back and you look at this new ban in England on commercials where they can't have any dangerous stereotypes, which they don't define. So it'll just, you know, remain in limbo. What does that mean?
Yeah. What does that mean for
the future?
What does that mean for the Gillette ad that the left loves so much? When guys are bullying others, they're harassing women, catcalling women, speaking over women at a meeting. Is that enough to get that banned? I bet it doesn't.
Should the Gillette ad be banned because it shows dads teaching their sons how to shave? Mm. Isn't that a stereotype? Women don't shave?
You're listening to Glenn Beck. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Glad you're here. It is Monday. There was some breaking news about the poll numbers this weekend that don't look good for the president. And the president fired his pollsters. And again, it doesn't look good. But the good thing is we have one of, I believe, the leading guys on polls. His name is Stu Bregeer. And he lives polls. He eats, drinks, statistics. He loves it. And he has been historically very, very accurate in the way he reads polls and the polls that we should pay attention to and not pay attention to. So I wanted to get his read on what is really happening with the polls. And is the president in as much trouble as the press would have you believe? We do that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, so people ask me all the time, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to help save the Republic? And their frustration is understandable. We all feel this way. What can I do besides vote? I'm so sick. I guess I'm going to vote. But what else can we do? Well, in 2013, a group of conservatives, these are military guys, they got really fed up watching their cell phone bill going to the left. And this started in California, and now all of them are doing this. They're funding Planned Parenthood. Every time you pay your cell phone bill, your money, some of it is going to Planned Parenthood. Some of it is going to La Raza. It's going to things that you fight against every day. Since 2015, this one group started by military guys, it's called Patriot Mobile. And since 2015, they have quietly raised over $2 million to support the Constitution and the values that we believe in, all while giving the people who use Patriot Mobile a better deal. So you're going to pay less money. You're going to have the same service because they're on the same towers. Everybody uses the same towers now. And so they're on the same towers. So you have the same great service. You're going to save money, and your money is not going to leftist ideas. So it's really easy to switch over. I urge you to switch over right now. This is one of those things. We always say, we're going to boycott X, Y, and Z. And there's never a good alternative for us to boycott. You can say, I'm not going to watch a Marvel movie or a Disney movie ever again. You're going to, because there's nobody making movies like that that are good that you can just replace him with. Patriot Mobile is the first to stake out this claim, I think, to where they can say, this is as good, if not better, because it's going to save you money. Right now, you get a free month of service when you switch over, and they'll make it really easy, to patriotmobile.com. Use the promo code Beck and save. Promo code Beck, a free month of service at patriotmobile.com. So I want to bring Stu right into the Glenn Beck program, and I don't want to really get into the politics, unless you think they're important, Stu, about the Trump firing of the pollsters, because politics is politics. I really want to stick to the facts. How bad are the polls for President Trump at this point? They show him really trailing everybody, including Elizabeth Warren. Are we to believe these polls?
I mean, no. I would say right now you have to put a... They're legitimate internal polls, and there's some external ones. The ones you're talking about with Elizabeth Warren and stuff are largely external. There's a lot that show him losing, but that it's A, it's way too early to take anything serious out of these polls. I mean, it's important for the campaign to understand where they are and kind of be able to plan for the future. You know, hasn't even officially really started running for president yet. He's not tested any of his new messaging. He's done none of these things. I think kind of one of the important things you're seeing in the media is people basically saying Donald Trump is firing his pollsters because they showed him losing, as if like he's, you know, if they showed him winning, he would have loved it. Right. Exactly. And that's right. Not what this was. Look, you know, they were internal polls. We shouldn't know about them. Right. They're supposed to be hidden. Yes, he was losing a lot of these states in these internal polls. Initially, Trump kind of said those polls don't exist. Then his campaign confirmed that they do, but they were from March. So they're outdated already anyway. But beyond that, like, the issue here is that they shouldn't be out in the public. They're supposed to be things
Correct.
Used
they're
for
internal
use. Right. So the yes. reason why these people are getting fired is because they believe the leaks came from these pollsters. They believe these people went out there, took these polls, realized that the Trump administration was never going to let them out, and decided to leak them out. That's a huge problem if that's true. You have to be able to trust your team. And so now there's another theory
he
out there.
He really can't trust anybody. I mean, I feel bad for the president in some ways. He cannot trust a single person.
No, I mean, that was interesting in that with Sarah Huckabee Sanders leaving, that was one of the people, you know, she hasn't been doing a lot of press conferences. However, she's become a pretty central advisor to him and one of the few people believed he could trust. I mean, Bill O'Reilly, as you pointed out, said nobody. He can trust nobody. He trusts literally zero people, maybe certainly outside of family. Maybe some of his family he trusts, but that's about it. But the issue here with these polls is that this is not, you know, there are some things you can learn from polls this early. You can usually find indications as to what's possible, but we know in 18 months anything can happen here. There's no reason to panic from these numbers at this point.
I think he could win. I think it's not hyperbole. You know better than I do on this stuff, and I'm always wrong when it comes to politics and predictions. But I think it's so open. He could win by a landslide. I mean, a Reagan-style landslide. He could lose by a landslide. It's that open.
I think all those things are certainly in play. I mean, you go back to, you know, George H.W. Bush at this time was incredibly popular president and wound up losing his reelection. We've seen, you know, Clinton did not look good at this time in, you know, in 1992 and came back, or 1996 and came back and won. These things change all the time. It's way too far out. I mean, the one thing I think you can look at with some interest at this point when it comes to polling is more on the Democratic side. It's interesting to see, number one, who performs best against the president. Like, a lot of these polls will show every one of these people beating the president. I think we all know that that's not reality. But it is interesting, I think.
The minute he steps on a stage with Elizabeth Warren, she's done.
The Elizabeth Warren thing is fascinating because it's as if the Democrats learned nothing. It's like take Hillary Clinton and then pop with, you know, give her, fill her with like really leftist policies. So you'll not only lose her because of the style and her incompetence on the campaign, but you'll also lose a lot of people in the middle because they think she's too much of a socialist. Where, you know, Hillary at least tried to hide that. Elizabeth Warren loves it. So you take that. It's like, I can't believe they're falling for that one again. If they put Elizabeth Warren.
I saw the numbers of Elizabeth Warren beating Trump, and I thought to myself, oh, please, Democrats, please.
She is specifically designed in a factory to lose to Donald Trump. Right.
Oh, yeah.
If she can beat Donald Trump, literally any Democrat can beat Donald Trump right now, which is, you know, who knows? Yes. Who knows how this country goes? We have no idea.
Right.
If you look at that and you say which candidate is performing best against a Donald Trump, and you see Joe Biden is usually number one in all these recent polls that have come out publicly. He's beating Trump by the most. And you see people who are still have large amounts of the Democrats and America, especially, who have no idea who they are. I mean, people don't have no idea who Pete Buttigieg is yet. I mean, can he compete? I mean, he in one of these polls, he's shown beating Donald Trump, too, although it's closer. But a lot of this has to do with, you know, the American people have no idea who these people even are yet. We're about to have these first debates. Once you get through the first and second round of these debates, you'll start to get a little bit of an idea where this race is. But as mm-hmm. of right now, mm-hmm. even Biden's lead, which looks insurmountable to a lot of people, is absolutely a real possibility of disintegrating. So way too early to tell. And I think the media's take on this, which is just trying to say, oh, Donald Trump is shallow and he doesn't want to see people losing, so he's firing himself. Look, these polls leaked not once, but twice. That's completely unacceptable from your team. It's this early. Why not switch him out? That's a completely rational thing to do.
I saw a clip earlier today on The Blaze of Ocasio-Cortez. And she was on, I don't know, Meet the Press or something. And she was just horrible. She was just horrible on it. And I thought, you know, she doesn't work in the old style media. She just doesn't work. She's never good at it. And if that's all she had, she'd be nowhere. However, she is a new generation that is really, really good online. Donald Trump is not your typical politician. And for anybody, including me, who said the guy's not going to win, the guy won't be able to win, it's because we were putting him into the mold of what America really wanted before. Well, he's not that guy. He's not a typical politician. Where I think Joe Biden is, and Joe Biden's strength will be in the upper end of the Democratic Party. They'll look for that traditional guy who is just rock solid, steady, blah, 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 even though he's not. They'll believe he looks presidential. America's not looking for that anymore. It's just not. Otherwise, Donald Trump would not be president. They are looking for somebody who really understands what we're facing today, or at least represents that. I will tell you, if I were king of the political media and I was on Donald Trump's side, I would be saying to Donald Trump and his allies, all of the people who are the 501c3s, all of the people who are working for the president's reelection but are not connected to him, they should really just concentrate on what the hell has happened to America. They should be doing all of the stuff about, you know, gay bathroom, I mean, not gay bathrooms, transitional bathrooms, all the things that have made people uncomfortable, the silencing of voices, the crazy political correctness that's going on. I would concentrate on the left and how crazy it has become, and show the future using their own words behind the scenes, and show this is not who you are. This is what you want. And then Donald Trump should be doing what Ronald Reagan did. And that is, it's morning in America. It's a new day in America. But remember, I'm the first guy that had a homosexual on the Republican stand talking and speaking out about this. I don't have a problem with homosexuality. I don't have a problem with gay marriage. It's up to you. And there is a reasonable path, but even that wasn't reasonable enough, because that's not where we're headed. And him just doing a very positive morning in America, show who we really can be, not in the past, show who we can be, that our future is right here. All we have to do is grab onto it. And I think that would be effective, because you have to remind people that things have gone crazy. Things have really gone crazy. And that there is somebody out there, and it should be his vision of a positive American future. And I think that would win. Now, whether he does that or not, I have no idea. I know he will go after the press, and the press will go after him. And maybe that's winning strategy this time around as well. I don't know. But anything can happen in this. We go back to Stu here on more on this in just a second. First, our sponsor, is LifeLock. Did you know that there's a black market for frequent flyer miles? At least a half dozen online markets have listings created by criminals who have stolen frequent flyer miles, and they're trying to resell them. And it's really hard to, you know, detect the crime since people don't check their accounts that often. So the theft may go undetected for weeks or even months. There are so many ways that cyber criminals are trying to take what's yours. Personal information is exposed. Someone can use it to commit identity theft. That's why LifeLock is here. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number on sale on the dark web. They look for these things. If they detect your information is being used, they send you alert. And then if there is a problem, a U.S.-based restoration specialist work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock sees the threats that you might miss on your own. So join now and get 10% off your first year by using promo code BECK. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. That's 1-800-LIFELOCK. Or go online, LifeLock.com, and use the promo code BECK and save 10% off. So online at LifeLock.com, 10% off, promo code BECK, or on the phone, promo code BECK at 1-800-LIFELOCK. We pause for 10 seconds, station ID. So, Stu, how right or wrong were the polls last time? Because nobody thought that Donald Trump was going to win.
No, I mean, you know,
did we just not pay attention to those polls, or were they wrong?
I think there's a little bit of both in there. And that one of the big lessons that everyone took from 2016 is never look at another poll again because they're always wrong. And reality, that's not fair at all. The national polls predicted the results with I think they missed by about a little over, it was like 1.1 or 1.2 points. That doesn't sound right because we obviously know the result wasn't right. But remember, polls don't look at the Electoral College. Polls look at the mm-hmm. national popular vote, which they predicted pretty accurately, honestly. There are a few state polls that were wrong and was enough to throw the election to Donald Trump. And, you know, that's the Electoral College, and obviously very important. But the poll results overall for 2016 were actually really solid when it comes to the nationwide one. And honestly, the bigger lesson to learn, and this is a lesson that I certainly learned in the primary, was in the primary, like, remember, Donald Trump led all the polls. People forget mm-hmm. because at the very end, everyone thought Hillary Clinton was going to win and Donald Trump won. Well, remember, the polls also existed for the primary. And the primary said over and over again for months, despite all the fundamentals, despite all the things that said the opposite, that Donald Trump should win the primary and is leading the primary. And he did. And he did. So in reality, like, looking at these polls and completely dismissing them is probably foolish. A little bit foolish. However, again, a lot can change in a presidential election. You know, remember, it was only a few weeks before the election happened when you have, you know, the Access Hollywood tape coming out and polls are swinging towards Hillary Clinton with these large margins. And he was able to whittle away at that and come all the way back to almost even in the popular vote right towards the end. He hasn't started any, you know, messaging here. Mm-hmm. The idea that, because here's some of the results. He's down by 17 in Virginia, a state he's probably not going to win anyway. He's down by 15 in Maine, 14 in Minnesota. And he almost won Minnesota in 2016. Michigan, he's down by 13 in these internal polls. Again, they're from March. Even the pollster who took them says at this point they're misleading. He's losing to Biden in North Carolina by 8. He's losing in Iowa by 7, in Ohio by 1. And, you know, these results are not good. And obviously he would get destroyed if these were real, but they're not real. And that is really important.
And it is also the unnamed Democrat.
It's Biden, actually. In this particular one, it's Biden. Though Biden, I think, stands in for the unnamed Democrat in a lot of ways, because he's kind of the guy. He hasn't really campaigned yet. He's a guy that people know, but they know him largely for him being vice president, which, as we all know, in most cases is just a role. It's the backup quarterback role, right? People kind of predict, well, if this person came in, he'd be great. But you never actually see him doing anything if you're a Democrat. You've never seen him actually enacting these policies. And when he's tried to come out and propose things, he's really had a lot of trouble so far. I mean, the Hyde Amendment is the big one where he reversed himself a multi-decade stance against public funding for abortion. And he's come out and now reversed that stance a few times over the past few weeks. And that's a stance that is actually largely popular among the American people. Even people who are pro-choice, generally speaking, can get behind the idea, all right, let's not put, we know it's controversial, let's not put public funding behind it. It's only a slight majority of Democratic voters who support overturning the Hyde Amendment. So, I mean, it's one of those issues that if he's wavering on something, that's a simple one to be quote-unquote centrist about. And he's already waving on those. I mean, what this campaign could do to him over a long period of time, he may look just as socialist as any of the others.
So I just, and maybe it's just me, I just think that when America, if the campaign is run right, when America says, all right, I've got the chaos of the Trump administration, you never know how to predict it, you know, and I'm tired of the fighting back and forth. However, when I look at who he's fighting against the press, and most Americans don't trust the press. So he's right on that one. And he's also, if they run things properly, when you look at things like abortion and you look at really pretty much everything, he's in step with the American people. They are wildly out of step. And when it comes down to it, they may say right now, you know what, I don't like all the chaos, I don't like all the bickering back and forth. But when it comes down to it, if the economy is doing well, they will look and say, you know what, I got a job, things are going pretty well, I think this is stable, I don't like these things, and you know there's a chance that they do enact those things. I'm just going to go with this one. Let's not change horses. As long as the economy.
Yeah, huge risk for Democrats in nominating someone like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, especially, who's outwardly telling you they want to change the fabric of our society, right? At least Biden's attempting to hide that. And if you have someone who says basically, okay, here's a stable guy. We already saw Biden in there. Again, this is not my analysis. I'm saying a Democratic voter or a centrist voter even who says, I don't like the chaos of Trump. Biden, he was around. I remember that. You start remembering these things more fondly than they were. There's plenty of chaos in the Obama administration, but people will forget a lot of that. And they'll say, all right, well, he's not going to be a revolutionary. You don't get that from Elizabeth Warren. You don't get that from Bernie Sanders. I don't think you're going to get that from Kamala Harris or many of these others. And at that point, you're saying, well, I have something good. Am I going to flush it completely down the toilet and try something different? Or am I going to stick with what's going on right now, which has aspects I don't like, but the economy's good. There's a lot of good things. I think he's got a good case there.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Think about flushing things down the toilet. If you are using public Wi-Fi, you do an online search, even in your own home, and then you're fed a bunch of ads that are for that. I mean, you might think that's convenient, but companies are monitoring you. They're monitoring your voice. They're monitoring your online searches, your activity all the time. And I think it's personal infringement myself. I don't like it. And it can be relentless. And I know there's some upsides to it, but the downside is really, really bad. It's even worse when cyber criminals invade your phone, your desktop, your tablet to steal your private information, steal your identity. There's an easy way to build a fortress around you. And it really takes a couple of steps. I mean, you really have to have people who are watching for your identity and a secure VPN, a virtual private network. Please do your own homework. There is only one true private network that I would recommend, and it is Norton Secure VPN. Protection starts at $333 a month. Go to Norton.com/VPN. Norton.com/VPN.
And BlazeTV.com/Glenn is the place to go for Blaze TV. Get all the shows that you love. Use the promo code Glenn for $10 off.
Two big stories, I think, that were happening this weekend, at least that caught my eye, was one, the poll numbers, and we just addressed those. And the second big story was the the New York Times, quote, scandal of what they came out and talked about with Russia. And I hit that earlier on first thing on the hour one of this broadcast. You can listen to it online. If you missed it, you can listen to the podcast. And I'll also hit it from a different angle coming up here in about 25 minutes. So stand by for that. But what we get from the news of the day really is that America is changing, the world is changing, and there are digital players that are in bed with the left and this idea that America was never great, America is a problem, and the free market is a problem. And that's a problem to us because we're living every day with technology that is really remarkable. I mean, take a moment and just think about how remarkable our lives are right now. Nobody has ever had it as easy as we have it right now. We have access to everything. And it's remarkable, even the poorest among us in this country. You can share your voice. You can be your own publisher. You can print a book. And write a book and print it, and you don't need anybody on the in-between. You can be the next Rush Limbaugh, just not on the radio. Just do it online. You have no boss. Think of this. At the same time, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the cyber warfare between Russia and the United States, voices can be silenced. Everything can be gone, a single keystroke, a tweak to even an algorithm, and you're behind a digital wall, or America is silenced. You don't have to worry about book burning anymore. Digital erasing is far more effective to make sure only the popular or the politically correct speech is heard. And I am growing more and more concerned, and it's funny. If you read my book, The Overton Window, or The Eye of Moloch is, I think, a better novel, you'll see that we put in there at that time the Founders Keepers. And these were people, because the founders' words were, you know, being destroyed, that they memorized. They became Benjamin Franklin. They became the keeper of Thomas Jefferson, and almost like people take the Quran or the Old Testament. I'm trying to think of I can't think of it now. Jewish people call the Old Testament, but the way they memorize those things. Pardon me. Yeah, the Torah. Thank you. The way they memorize the Torah. That is because there was no. You couldn't count on paper. You couldn't count on anything. You had to make sure that it was told in an oral tradition. Now, we're not at that point. However, we might be at that point if we don't take and preserve some of the things that we have. For instance, I could be erased digitally. You could never find a video of mine with a simple tweak of an algorithm. You could lose all of the books if they were digital that I've ever written. No one would know in 10 years that I even existed. That's the world we're living in now. Now, it's not so important when you do it to Glenn Beck. But if you do it to Thomas Jefferson, if you do it to really Mark Twain is already being erased in our schools. Isn't he important?
And didn't they really kind of do this to Thomas Jefferson? And we talked about this a while ago, the first draft. You know, you look at,
yes,
basically they made him out to be this slave owning, you know, this guy with this hardcore desire for slavery. When you read his first draft, you realize the guy couldn't stand slavery. He hated it.
He attempted to stop it.
It was one of his main points of reasoning to declare independence from Great Britain, as he outlined in giant letters in his own handwriting. And yet that gets erased to the point that now all people think about is this guy was a slave owner, and all the rest of his work is diminished because of it. I mean, it's a great example. Imagine that in a much quicker fashion. You see what they're doing with like groups like these, like hardcore extreme, neo-Nazis and things. You see the tactics they use against them, which obviously all these groups are horrific. But you see what they do against them, and then you see that they do the same thing up the line, where someone like Alex Jones, who might be the next step there, is now gone from all the social media. When's the last time you've heard anybody even talk about Alex Jones other than just referencing him being banned? I mean, what the heck is he talking about anymore? What's his new conspiracy? I have no idea.
In fact, he's got a new problem going on that I have long talked about. And I don't know anything about it. I'm not defending. I'm not dismissing. But I am also not jumping on the bandwagon. Apparently child porn was found on his company servers, and he's offered $1 million for anybody that can prove that it was planted there, because he said it was planted. It was sent to us and it was planted. But that'll destroy him. If that would be, and I think they do that in a heartbeat to people, somebody, and I don't mean government or anything else. I just mean individuals hacking in and placing stuff on your computer and your hard drives. And then you think you could defend against that?
Oh,
there's no way.
There's no way. It's just like trying to defend a 30-year-old Me Too claim, right? There's no way to defend yourself against it. And like, you know, the next step for Alex Jones is probably what the next step was against these white supremacist organizations and such, where instead of, okay, we kicked him off of social media, he still has his website. I'm sure he's still making plenty of money off of his website. Well, now you go after the ISP, you go after the companies hosting it.
It's gone.
I mean, eventually you can get to a point where they'll take everything away, you know, from the beginning, and that line will move towards more and more quote unquote normal speech.
Yep. Okay, so here's what I want to ask you to do, and we're going to do this over several days. It might take weeks to do this because I want to talk to people that I really respect and get their look on this too. I want to start putting a collection together about the library that needs to be preserved, and a library that we all should have, at least parts of it. You know, for instance, we should all have the Geneva Bible, and you should have the King James Bible, but also the Geneva Bible, because that's the one that led us into freedom. And David Barton has a good version of this. It's the Patriot's Bible, where it explains it in today's language. But you need to have a Geneva Bible or a Patriot's Bible from David Barton. You need to have a King James version, because who knows how those things are changed or if they're just outlawed. Wealth of Nations, along with Moral Sentiments. If we are looking at a bunch of people who say that capitalism is bad and the free market just needs to be destroyed, you have to destroy Wealth of Nations. We've already destroyed Moral Sentiments. Those are both by Adam Smith. You need both of them together, because Moral Sentiments is what keeps the Wealth of Nations actually happening, because it makes it more moral. Road to Serfdom. You can't have a Road to Serfdom. You can't have Mark Twain. How about Churchill by Boris Johnson? Churchill is going to be destroyed. Now, you need to have both sides. And I don't remember, it's the Empire or something. I can't remember, but I'll find it. The way Churchill was looked at in India, which is true. He was a bad guy in India. So you have to have both. But I just think there are so many books that we need to preserve that could so easily be wiped out. Again, you don't own your library if it is on Kindle. Google Books, they can take them. They own it. You're renting it. I know it says buy this book, but you don't own it. They can just remove it. So we need to look at the things that are really about America, about the truths of America, about the truths that are so easily being lost right now. I think Coming Apart by Charles Murray is a really important book, because it shows what was happening to us. It shows, you know, all those controversial things that nobody wanted to talk about, that shows the original divide. I think we need books like Greg Easterbrook's book, It's Better Than It Looks. Or Stu, what's the one you would say? What's his name? That is the really positive Steven Pinker.
Mm-hmm. It's even bigger.
And the positive look at the West, that's all going to be destroyed. You can't let that out there. Now, this is obviously for crazy scenarios. This is for the losing of voices, but we're seeing the losing of voices. We're seeing the loss of Steven Crowder. My voice, Rush's voice, Sean's voice, Mark Levin's voice, any of these voices that will try to stand, we have a shot of being erased into a digital ghetto. You need to preserve these things. Somebody needs to hold on to them. And I think this goes back to an early prompting of mine, Clay Potts. It's why we started our museum, because somebody has to preserve the good and the bad. By the way, we're doing a museum. It opens the last week of June and goes through the 7th of July, and it's at our Mercury Studios. It's a quick pop-up museum about the history with Abraham Lincoln and slaves and racism. It asks the question, what is racism? Is that an American problem? What is slavery? Is that an American problem? What are these things? How do they start? What does it mean? Are they done? And it is very powerful and quite honestly, quite controversial, I think, because it tells the truth. And I have a feeling we're going to get a lot of pushback on it. But we'll see. Please come in and see our museum. You will see the real Gettysburg Address, the real Emancipation Proclamation. And it's only open for a few days at the Mercury Studios. And you can find tickets now at mercury1.org, mercury1.org. But bring your family and learn the truth. I also would like to know if you had to preserve the nation, if you had to tell its story. We obviously would put the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence in there. We would put the Federalist Papers. Everyone should have the Federalist Papers in there. But what books need to be saved, both good and bad, from digital ghettoization, or like we will talk about coming up in just a second, what the real point of the story from the New York Times this weekend and Donald Trump, the point of the story with Russia is that we are trying to be in place with Russia and other countries where we can shut all electronics down, all electricity, everything. We shut it all down, because that's the way, according to Putin, the next war will be fought. It'll be fought with ones and zeros. So how do we shut everything down? Well, if you shut everything down, you lose everything. So I want you to please help us with this project. Go to glennbeck.com/savebooks and submit the books that you think need to be preserved the most. Just give us the name of the book and why you think it needs to be preserved. glennbeck.com/savebooks. Go there now. I'd also like to know, who would you like to talk to or hear talk about their books? Because I'm going to write different people and say, if you could only save 5 books, what would the 5 most important books be to preserve the West? And if you have somebody that you would like to hear from, let me know on that as well. Again, it's glennbeck.com/savebooks. All right, our sponsor. Sponsors, Blinds.com. Blinds.com, they story after story after story after story, letter after letter, always says the same thing. The quality is much higher than I expected, higher than I see in the box stores. The windows, we did the blinds or we did the shutters and we got a great price on it. It was easier than I thought. You guys have the best staff ever. I mean, it is always like this. This is why they have 30,000 five-star customer reviews online. 30,000 five-star customer reviews. They're the number one choice in America for affordable quality custom window coverings. It's Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Every order gets free samples. You get free shipping. You get 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. They have online design consultants that are standing by. I mean, literally, it's not like, I got to make an appointment in 2 weeks. When I did it, and my wife did it, they didn't know it was me. I got a call back or a text back within 5 minutes, and we were on the phone with them and FaceTiming within an hour. free shipping, 100% satisfaction guarantee. You can change the look of your house right now, and you'll get great site-wide savings, plus an extra $20 off on top of that with promo code Beck. That's Blinds.com. Get an extra $20 off with the promo code BECK. Site-wide savings right now, plus $20 off the top of that just for using my name, Beck. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions do apply.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I believe one of the biggest threats to America is what's happening really outside of sight. I mean, they're not hiding it, but nobody's touting it. And that's the changing of the Electoral College. They already have, I believe, 15 states. They're what, 180 or 200 electoral votes. They have to get to 270. And then it's a straight popular vote. And the left is doing this, and they are very, very well financed and organized. And we are not doing anything to combat it, and we need to in our local states. Please go to tpusa.com, TPUSA, and look for all the information on the Electoral College. You need to get involved. This, by the way, is Turning Point USA. We're kind of joining forces with Charlie and his organization. We need your help to stop the loss of the Electoral College, and it just requires a little bit of time just by making phone calls to your state.
To Glenn Beck. The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment.
You know, we were talking at one point that they would just come out and then they would just say what they were really trying to do. That the radicals, the progressives would start to say, look, I'm a democratic socialist. Okay, that's what I am. And this system doesn't work. And people thought I was crazy when I said that. I'm going to play some audio that just happened this weekend that's a little stunning. A little stunning. We'll give you that in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
What are the things that make your pain worse? I'm currently up at our ranch, and we live in the mountains, and we're high up and have to cross the Rockies to get there, and altitude is really painful. It's hard for me to fly. It is hard for me to drive and change altitude up and down, and that increases my pain. So that sucks. So what are you going to do? Well, what are the things that increase your pain? And what are the things you're just not going to give up? Playing with your kids, playing with your grandkids, playing golf. What is it that you're not willing to stop doing? May I suggest you try Relief Factor? Relief Factor has four key ingredients that helps your body fight against inflammation. It's 100% drug-free. It's created by doctors. And they have a three-week quick start for only $19.95. It's $1 a day. It's like a trial pack. 70% of the people who order that three-week quick start go on to order more. Why? Because it works. It works for me. I've been taking it for about 18 months or so now, and it really does reduce my pain. It reduces inflammation. That's one of the biggest causes of our pain. So try it, please, just for 3 weeks. You're out $20 if it doesn't work, but if it does work for you, you get your life back. ReliefFactor.com. Stop avoiding the things that you want to do. Stop just grinning and bearing it through your pain. Try it. ReliefFactor.com. 800-500-8384. It's ReliefFactor.com. So, Stu, can you take us through the audio? The audio that we just heard, if you were listening on the Blaze TV or watching or listening on the Blaze TV, it's pretty stunning audio of people just taking their masks off.
Yeah, you talked about this for a very long time, and we've seen it in different levels, even up to the presidential election. Now we have Democratic Socialists obviously saying they're going to run. We have it all over Congress. We also maybe have the most explicit example in the Denver City Council. Now, one of the things you hear from Democratic Socialists is all we want is Norway. All we want is Sweden. This is all we want.
That's absolutely not true. Sweden, Norway, those are free market systems. Those are capitalist nations with a very large safety net. So it's easy for somebody to say, look, I want Sweden. We just are going to have higher taxes. We still keep the free market the way it is. In fact, we should reduce some of the regulation because Sweden and Norway are way ahead of us on less regulation. So businesses can make more money, but people make more money, and that's we get the taxes, and we take that money, and we have a big safety net. That's the message of Norway and Denmark. Not what democratic socialists are saying.
Yeah, and we should point out, obviously, there's major issues with that. I mean, you know, it's easy to do a Norway and a Denmark when you have a United States doing all the innovations for you, right? Like, it's easy to be able to live off essentially the work of other countries who have a freer market. And then, of course, there's other more, you know, day-to-day pragmatic things. Like, for example, you know, the average new home in the United States is 2,600 square feet. The average residence in Norway is something like 780. So, I mean, I think the
biggest thing is, and this is even too big of a state, but you could do this in, let's say, Manhattan, or you could do this in California. If it was a country and they had to live within their own means and they had to live with the consequences of what they wanted to do without dragging the rest of the country in with them. This is a very large country, huge population, very diverse. Not everybody wants to go that way. So if you wanted to do it in California, do it in California, but we cut all ties to you financially, meaning we're not going to bail you out. You have to do what Norway is doing. They have to live within their own means or go out of business.
Right. So there's a lot of trade-offs there. However, most of the people who say they're democratic socialists, when you're talking about people who are philosophically advocating that viewpoint, as we've seen from Jacobin and you know, the piece we've talked about several times in Vox, where they talk about that basically what we're looking to do is overthrow capitalism. It's not just Medicare for all. It's not just the Green New Deal. We want to overthrow it because we think it's bad. They'll eventually admit it if you kind of actually go after them. Well, in the Denver City Council, Candy Kabaka, I believe is her name, she talks about capitalism and wants to make sure that everyone understands what she really wants. And this is not just this little vision of Norway that we've been sold. This is full government ownership by the state of the means of production. Listen to her outline it.
What experience do you have on shaping the economy of the city and not turning Denver into a true welfare state where there's limited potential for personal wealth and savings?
Well, I guess we'll just address the elephant in the room. I don't believe that our current economic system actually works. Capitalism by design is extractive, and in order to generate profit in a capitalist system, something has to be exploited. That's land, labor, or resources. And I think that we're in late phase capitalism, and we know it doesn't work, and we've got to move into something new. And I believe in community ownership of land, labor, resources, and distribution of those resources. And so whatever that morphs into, I think, is what will serve community the best. And I'm excited to usher it in by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. And by the way, what it's morphed into, in case you, she says, whatever it morphs into, so far it's 100 million dead. So that morphing was kind of problematic for me. Morphed into, you know, a lot of people losing their lives in every single instance it's been attempted. So I do not want to try it. I do not think capitalism has failed. And we've talked about these numbers so many times. I mean, we've billions of people ripped out of poverty by this system since, you know, we've been alive. This is not going back to the you can go back to the 1800s and sure, it looks great. Go back to the 1990s. Billions of people extracted from poverty because of this system she wants to close. It's not a good look. It's not a good look. And it was, you know, and I will say the people of Denver knew that. And that's why, of course, she actually successfully won election after those statements.
That's unbelievable. That's absolutely unbelievable. The people, you know, it used to be said that the people who had the most to lose did the least to save it. It is now those with the most to lose are doing the most to lose it. I mean, our nation is filled with people who are either in denial, it'll never happen, or they are or they're actively involved in it. I mean, they're telling you what they want to do. And I guess part of it is we haven't learned about, nobody young has learned about the Soviet Union, has learned about the socialist experiments. These are all experiments. In fact, the first socialist experiment, I can't say the first, because the first was really the Pilgrims. No, it was really Jamestown, perhaps, and then the Pilgrims. They all tried socialist. You know, it wasn't called socialism then, but they all tried this. We'll all decide and we'll all just put our money in a big heap, and it doesn't work. A really big experiment happened in Texas, believe it or not. And if you ever look at the skyline of Texas, just Google it real quick, and you'll see a big ball, a round ball, and it's lit up at night, and it's the Reunion Tower. Nobody knows what the Reunion Tower is. What is Reunion? Well, Reunion used to be a suburb of Dallas, and it was Reunion, Texas. It's now part of Dallas, and it was the big first real socialist experiment in Texas, where they tried this. They tried this in the late 1800s. In fact, one of the biggest minds of the socialist movement from France came over. They were the movers and shakers, and they tried it. And it ended the way it always ends. You were kicked out as soon as you got sick. You were kicked out as soon as you got old. You were not allowed to stay there, and it all fell apart. Now, the modern socialist movement doesn't kick you out of the community. They just kill you. And so it completely failed, and every socialist experiment ends the same way. And what are we doing? We were going to try a socialist experiment in America and in the West. It will end exactly the same way. And it's amazing to me that people have not been taught the difference between the free market and what we're doing now, which is crony capitalism. Crony capitalism, the reason why this is failing in many ways is because of many of the things that the socialists are doing in companies like Google and Facebook. What are they doing? They're controlling everything. They're controlling the way it works. They're in bed with the government, if not the government here, but the government in China. Look at Amazon. Look at Google. They're writing all of the laws. So the things that we hate about capitalism, crony capitalism, that these companies just get bigger and bigger and they don't have to abide by the laws that you have to abide to. Why is it that Google and Facebook are having a problem right now? They're having a problem because they don't have to pick between a publisher, being a publisher where they edit and they're responsible and you can sue them, or a platform, which is just an open platform and everyone can say whatever they want on it. Well, they don't want that. They want both. They want to have a platform that they can edit if they choose, but not get sued if they don't choose the right ones or don't catch something because they're a platform, but have all the benefits of being a publisher as well and control speech. Why are we having a problem? Because it's in bed with the government. Why are we having a problem with so many things? Why does the left hate corporations? They hate corporations because they know they get big, bloated, and then they control everything because of government. They get involved with the government. That's crony capitalism. And that's exactly what they eventually do. Do you really think that the people in Venezuela really had a say? Do you think the people in the former Soviet Union really had a say on how to make things? Watch Chernobyl. The little people didn't have anything to say. Everybody was too afraid to say anything. Well, that won't happen here, really? Is no one afraid to say anything right now? Is no one afraid of saying the wrong thing and being politically squashed? How do you not see that this is exactly where we're headed? They're doing all of the things that they say they hate. Therefore, freedom. Therefore, everybody having their fair shot. While they're in bed with people like Google and Facebook, who will do nothing but enforce whatever it is they believe by any means necessary. That last line she said should not be taken lightly. By any means necessary. True revolutionaries know you got to break a lot of eggs to make an omelet. You just listen to George Soros in his own words on 60 Minutes when he said, look, so a lot of people, you know, they hurt, but, you know, it's kind of fun doing this. You're destroying people and you don't care because it's not about the individual. It's for the greater good. And there is no greater good without the individual. It becomes a greater nightmare. And that's what our founders knew. And somehow or another, well, we not somehow or another, we know how it happened. They have made sure that our children are not educated in this and that our values and our principles are being sidelined and being silenced and discredited every step of the way. And we need to draw a line in the sand and say no more, not an inch further, and preserve those things in our own life, in our own homes, and make sure that we know how this story usually ends. And we write ourselves into the story. Who will we be? Who will we be? Who will our children be when they say any means necessary? Who will we be? Sponsor this half hour is American Financing.
Financing Corporation.
American
NMLS 182334. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Okay, the Fed has signaled that they may drop interest rates again at their meeting later this month. That's great news. If you have a variable mortgage or you're looking to buy a home, that's really great news. If they drop them, please lock your mortgage in to a non-adjustable rate. You do not want an adjustable rate because you never know. You can, if it goes down, you can always refi again. But if it goes up, you're screwed and you may not be able to afford your house. And I don't know. History would tell us that the rates are going to go up. But really bad history, like, you know, Weimar Republic history, will tell us that it's going to go below zero. We don't know. But until the world is stop acting insane and stop moving towards insanity at a faster and faster clip, I suggest you lock your rates in. And American Financing can help you do that. AmericanFinancing.net right now. If you're looking to buy a home or refinance, now is the time. AmericanFinancing.net or call 800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. AmericanFinancing.net. 10 seconds, station ID. How was your Father's Day, Stu?
Pretty good. How about you?
Yeah, good. What'd you do?
I had a father-son basketball camp this weekend, which was 5 hours on Friday night and then 6 hours on Saturday. And I'm not in shape, is how I would summarize the weekend. I am in pain, yeah, as if I conquered Everest several times. And instead, yeah, what I did was, I think, run a few drills. And yeah, the drills that used to be easy, and they no longer come that way. So I'm in, yeah, pain. I'm in severe pain,
yeah,
is how I would describe my weekend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I kind of similar. We're building fences and things like that, and I realized I can't really do much really of anything. Destroying an old fence, taking an old fence down with a sledgehammer. We have two of the guys who are up here helping us with it, and you know, they're old, you know, special forces kind of guys. And watching them take the sledgehammer, I'm thinking, nope, not a chance. I'm not even a man anymore.
Right.
I'm not even a man.
Physical labor is one of those things that it's nice to look back on, but I don't want to go back there if I can avoid
actually, it. Yeah, it's actually, it's weird because I want to do it. I don't want to do it full time. I don't want to do it full time.
No.
Don't get me wrong. I was, because we have a couple of heavy machinery here that I've just been drinking like crazy and then operating. But we have a couple of pieces of heavy machinery. And even in that, you know, it's a hard job. It's a really hard job. And I was thinking to myself, I could do this. And then I thought, no, I really couldn't. I couldn't do this my whole life. No way.
I love when the politicians come out and they're like, well, look, we need to get these manufacturing jobs back. And when none of these people had manufacturing jobs. Like, manufacturing jobs are great, and they, you know, they are obviously a central part of our economy, but very few of the people advocating for them have actually done them. Like, they're hard. You're in pain afterwards. They talk about this replacement of truck drivers, right, with all these automated vehicles, and what they're finding is when these automations come, and not all of them, obviously, I mean, this is just very beginning of the circle, but what they think is going to happen is a lot of these truck drivers who will go on, especially ones who are maybe old enough and not, you know, to look, be able to train for another gig, are going to retire, look around for a while, and eventually go on disability, because almost all of them have ailments that could qualify you for disability, because they all have had to drive around, and they have back problems, and they have all sorts of physical issues that absolutely qualify them, because it's hard.
It's like
freaking work.
We want to save these coal mining jobs. Actually, I think everybody who is in a coal mining job would say, hey, or replace it with something I can do. Right. I'm up for that.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at these coal miners. No, thank you. No, thank you. But, you know, it's a little ridiculous for us. I just realized I'm dead. The power goes out. You know, the New York Times thing, you know, where cyber warfare. Well, I'm dead within a week, and I'm very marbled. So I'm being eaten by the survivors that are out actually using sledgehammers.
Oh, in the cannibalism economy, you're high value.
Oh, yeah. No, they bid on me.
Mm-hmm.
The different camps. They take me and they're like, OK, we got this one up for sale. He is really soft, tender, tender eaten, and very, very juicy and fatty.
And since people say you're not preparing for the future, you clearly are. I mean, look at that.
I am.
It takes a long amount of work to get to where you are.
I clearly am. Mm-hmm. You know, I've spent the last 2 weeks with my son. It's really kind of been, it's been a hard year with him. And because he's coming into his own. And that's good. It's all good stuff. But it's hard. And I'm trying to walk him through it without self-destruction because of what is, you know, what's happening in society. And, you know, he had a real problem last year around the summertime. And then this last year has been really, really tough. And it's hard because when you're a dad and you have more than one child, it's hard to dedicate yourself to all of them at the same time. And it's tough. Dads deserve a day of looking up and saying, hey, thanks, Dad, because it's a hard job and harder than working construction.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right.
I want to talk to you a little bit about Goldline. Goldline has their four-coin collection of 1881. They're $5 Liberty Gold coins from the U.S. They've acquired these. This is an old-time hoard of these coins. It's not a large quantity, but enough to make a special offer to Goldline customers. If you already own gold, you might want to consider going buying more. These are the kind of gold coins that I buy. It's the half eagle from the late 1800s. This is when, you know, this is when the country was at its height. The moonshot of the 1800s was the railroad. As we were building the railroad, this is the money that they used. This is a four-coin collection. It is great for history, but also for value. These are near non-circulated in quality. You can find it now at goldline.com. Ask them why I buy gold coins like this, and do your own homework. Find out if gold or silver is right for you. They have plenty of important risk information that they will do. But this is a very nice introduction or addition to what you already have. Goldline.com.
The Second Amendment, what's the truth behind it? We hear all the claims. We're going to dispel a lot of the myths about the Second Amendment tonight. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Promo code is Glenn.
This is a really good podcast this weekend, the Glenn Beck podcast, which you can hear on iTunes or wherever you download podcasts. If you're a subscriber to The Blaze, you'll also get it there. But the podcast was really, really good this weekend and so well worth your time. Just listen to it, even in bits and pieces over the week, if you can. We had James Lindsay and Peter Boghossian. And these are the two scientists that are trying to take on the educational system and trying to uproot it and say, what are you doing? Shake it back awake and show how off track it really is. And they have just become pariahs and they know it. And we had a fascinating conversation. I want to just play a couple of things. Boghossian is a big atheist. And I wondered how we were going to be able to sit down and have a real conversation. And if this would come up, and if it did, how it would be handled. I want you to listen to this. Here's Lindsay and Boghossian on religion.
The only reason people believe in the new religion is because they stop believing in the old, right?
It's Nietzsche.
It's kind of, I was thinking about Game of Thrones, but yeah.
Now
I have the new gods and the old gods. And so Jim and I have written extensively about how there's a new religion. And then this new religion is, I don't know if it's a religion or a worldview or a cult.
It's almost a religion. It is a faith tradition, or not tradition, really. It is a faith system for certain. The social justice is a faith system at this point. But they won't admit it because they don't have to, because their canon mm-hmm. looks like knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't pointing to scripture. They're pointing to...
So, but it is their scripture.
It is.
It is. Functionally, it is.
We have the
parallels.
We have the parallels that you can speak to. Privilege being original sin. Political correctness being blasphemy.
Yeah. Privilege 100%. Also being depravity.
It
corrupts you totally and makes it so that you can't do anything. But in depravity, in the religious sense or Calvinist sense, it's that you are depraved in the sense that you seek to sin. And here it's your privilege, so you seek to maintain your privilege. It's a perfect parallel. Concept. And they go all the way down. Wokeness is being born again. And you can just go down the list.
Have you written this yet?
I wrote it just before Christmas.
Aereo magazine. Helen Pluckrose is our third contributor. Mm. It's in Aereo magazine.
It's 15,000 words, so enjoy your time.
Oh, I will. Yeah.
It's a solid hour.
And I think so. Part of this is, we hosted the James Damore event at Portland State University, and it was going to be James Damore and myself, and we invited the Women's Studies Department on stage. They said no. 2 days later, James and Helen Pluckrose and I did an event at Portland State, and we invited the Women's Studies again. Nothing. We have consistently invited people to have conversations with us, and it's incredibly difficult when you want to have a conversation with us. That's why it's so interesting to me that the people on the right have been so welcoming to us. Right. I mean, I've never lied to anybody. You know, I'm an atheist. You know, I'm a liberal. Mm-hmm. I've never lied to anybody, but you've never lied to anybody about what you believe. And I've been totally taken aback by how welcoming people are.
Because perhaps you have bought into the narrative that the right, and some on the right are this way, are a progressive right, are a big government, big control, that there are those Christians who are like, my way and the highway, good, we can get everybody baptized or whatever.
Yeah.
That there is that sliver, but the right, generally, the strength still is this constitutional, I don't hate my neighbor, I don't mind, I want to work together. We're here because we see this vision that people can do something great with their life that's different than mine.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a small group of people, but I think it's actually getting bigger because it's in the American DNA.
James Lindsay and Peter Boghossian on a broker of conversation. Listen.
I say this with total sincerity, that you are a sincere broker of conversation. I appreciate you having us on, even though we have differences of opinion, and that's fantastic. Well, I mean,
you don't understand how. You're making a big deal out of this. Is this not happening anywhere?
Because nobody.
Not in our lives.
Not in our lives.
I mean, since we've come out,
people on quote whatever our side should be aren't inviting us on their shows. They're not talking to us. They're heaping
two left wing outlets since October.
They're heaping derision on us, like. So when we did the atheist thing, everyone was like, oh, you guys are just liberals or whatever. Well, they were right. But now that we've done this and that we've attacked kind of our own tribe or our own side, and the reason is, even though I share a lot of those impulses, that doesn't mean you get to make stuff up. That doesn't mean you get to pretend that something is knowledge. Like, we really need to have something we can count on, something we can go to, something we can point to, and then we can squabble over public policy. Yeah. But we need to have things that we can point to and say, hey, you know what? We know this. This has been, we've come about this, the integrity of this process is intact. You don't have to worry about
it. The process needs to be defended.
Yeah, the process needs to be defended. And that's the other thing that we've lost. So I really do appreciate you inviting us on, you having a sincere and honest conversation with us. And that's exactly what we need. And we're not having it.
Yep. So can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah.
This is an amazing conversation, because you realize how much we really have in common. And let me play these last two clips for you. Here they are, James Lindsay and Peter Boghossian on idea laundering.
Postmodernism, right, is what our friend Brett Weinstein calls idea laundering. So they have this idea, like they have this moral urge, and they don't know how to discharge this urge. They don't know what to do. So they get a bunch of other people who have this urge together, who have some kind of deep moral feeling about something, and they write a journal, or they publish a journal, and then they idea launder. They start publishing their, I think they're insane ideas, but they start publishing these ideas in journals, and then those journals inform public policy. So when someone says, how do you know the trigger warnings? How do you know safe spaces? How do you know microaggressions? Well, they point to the journal articles.
It's, do you know that observing thing, or training men like you train dogs will prevent rape culture? Well, right. you push it through a journal. Now it's knowledge.
Now it's knowledge.
Yeah. You have the same thing. This is how they distorted history. We have, for instance, George Washington, all of the stories written by the guys at the time that knew him, were next to him.
Right.
Those have all been erased.
Right.
And new professors come in with new studies. It's their opinion. And they start quoting, the next book quotes that guy. Right. And the next book quotes the two guys. Yep, and then all of a sudden it's done.
And what you're probably looking at there is coming out of what they call critical race theory. And critical race theory is openly historically revisionist. What's it supposed to do? It's supposed to show that the white power has always been trying to maintain itself. So somehow, no matter what happened, like the civil rights successes, for example, that was white people trying to make themselves look good by giving black people rights. It was a means for white supremacy to maintain itself. So they rewrite history in a sense that always serves the narrative that they're trying to spin. And then if it gets any legs behind it, once it gets published,
and they teach our kids this.
These guys got a lot of heat this weekend for being on my program, a lot of heat, but they're used to it. And I want to leave you with one piece. And this is why it is important that we have these conversations, and that you engage and you listen in the podcast, and you suggest to me people that you think should be on the podcast that are deep thinkers, that can be reasonable, and they base their life and their viewpoints on facts. Here's the last cut.
It's really interesting, because I spend a lot of time with conservatives because I live in the South. A lot of my friends are conservatives, libertarian conservatives, classical liberals at heart with conservative views. And I am actually encouraged by what I'm seeing there. Again and again, I hear the same thing. And I don't know what the reasons are. Maybe it's just because Trump's in power and all of this, but I do know that I keep hearing again and again, I'm tired of all the fighting. I'm tired of it being, you know, daggers against daggers. I'm tired of it being that I can't be your friend because our politics differ. Let's go back to what Jefferson said, where matters of religion, politics, and philosophy don't separate friends.
Right.
And I hear this so consistently from conservatives that I do have hope that there is at least a sea change going on.
There is. I do think that.
Because I did not experience that living as a liberal in the South for the last decade. This is new to see this as the main voice that
there's
hearing.
There's a hunger to have an adult conversation with people who has a different view without being called a racist or a bigot or a homophobe.
Because what I see is people reaching across the table with an open hand.
Right.
And some people on the other side are going to slap it, but other people are going to take it. And the more people who take that hand, whether it's a liberal reaching to a conservative or there's a conservative reaching to a liberal, the more people who take that hand, the faster this problem gets fixed.
And you probably find you have far more in common. One has far more in common if they're a conservative with a liberal. And part of the reason is I think it. I was telling Jim, I think last night at dinner, it's really weird. Like, here we are, two liberal atheists. We're on your show. We're hanging out. I'm having a good time. Your staff was fantastic to me. It's really interesting.
I wish I could have heard the rest of it. You can hear the rest of it now on the podcast. It came out last Saturday, so it's available now wherever you download your podcast. Really well worth your time. You will understand what's happening to our country. You'll understand what's happening in education, how bad this fight really is. And I think you'll walk away with real hope. It's the latest of the Glenn Beck podcast. Just download it. Please rate and review. That helps other people discover it. Rate and review. Go to iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. First thing you do when you get into your car, especially if you know somebody else has been driving it, is you adjust the seat. And if you have a nice car, a luxury car, if you're blessed enough to be able to drive one of those, you know that it has all kinds of adjustments and it can adjust, you know, the lumbar support and you can get it just right. Well, how about your office chair? If your office chair has fewer than 10 customized adjustments, then you are not sitting in an X chair. And I have to tell you, Steven Crowder and I were talking about this the other day. He went out and he bought one of those. I don't know. I think they're Herman Miller chairs. I bought one years ago. They're supposed to be the best chairs ever for your office, blah, blah, blah. So when you finally get a promotion or you get a raise and you're like, I'm going to get one of those chairs because they're the best. They suck. They suck. In comparison to an X chair, they're awful. And Steven doesn't have an X chair yet. And he said, Glenn, he said, I got one of these really expensive chairs. I said, I know, brother. And he said, it's terrible. It doesn't do anything. An X chair has all of the adjustments that'll make you sit up straight. It will support you. I mean, it is the best chair I've ever sat in. You can try it yourself, 30-day money-back guarantee. If you don't love it as much as I do, just ship it back and 100% money-back guarantee. Get $100 off right now at xchairbeck.com or you can call 844-4XCHAIR, 844-4XCHAIR. If you use the promo code XWheels, you're going to receive a free set of the new XWheels with your chair. It is 844-4XCHAIR or xchairbeck.com. So let me go over the top three stories today that I think were really important that we covered today. The New York Times article on Russia and U.S. cyber warfare. It kicked up a lot of dust this weekend. President Trump said that it was a treasonous article. I actually think this is a good article for President Trump. It's the toughest stance on Russia yet. It's been something that I've been wondering, are we doing anything about Russia for the next election? Are we doing anything? Are we watching? Are we competing in what Putin says is World War III, a fight of ones and zeros? According to this article, we are, and the president knows about it because he signed in some new latitude for the general in charge of cyber warfare. The second article that was out this weekend, the second big talking point, was that the president's poll numbers are falling apart and he's fired people because he doesn't like, you know, bad poll numbers. Not true. He fired people because they released confidential poll numbers. They did it not once, but twice. They should have been fired. The second thing that you need to know, the poll numbers are old and they're unreliable. The president hasn't even started his campaign yet. It's something that he needs to kick off with a real positive vision for the American future, and he needs to execute on that vision. I actually hope that the polls convince the Democrats that Elizabeth Warren is the woman to run against President Trump, because I think she's a disaster. She is perhaps the only candidate, perhaps, because this is saying quite a bit. Perhaps the only candidate that could possibly ever show up that's worse than Hillary Clinton. But we'll wait to see. Hopefully. Oh, please, Democrats, whatever you do, don't run Elizabeth Warren. And the third article we never really got to, and I think it's important if we can squeeze some of it in now. Bitcoin is up to $9,000. And this is important because it's quietly happening this time. This is institutional money. So this isn't the people who are like, I'm going to get rich. This is institutional money, which changes things dramatically in the positive for Bitcoin.
Yeah, all the reporting on cryptocurrency has been horrible, and they, you know, all you hear is, okay, it went up to 19,000, 20,000. How many? You know how long it was at 19,000? One day. Yeah, there was a huge peak. It was over 18,000 for 3 days and 17,000 for 5 days. But the fact is, if you bought cryptocurrency in any month other than the peak month, I think it's now, looking back at it, 24 of 26 months since the boom started, you're currently up. So yes, if you bought at the absolute peak, you're down. But I mean, it would be difficult to do that. It was only at the absolute peak for one day. If you bought any time in the 24 to 20 out of the 26 other months since the boom started, you're actually up right now. And, you know, the media is not talking about it anymore. It doesn't have any of the hype. It's all negative headlines. Yet here we are. And I don't know if anyone remembers the time that the tulip, boom happened, and then it lost all of its value and then regained half of its value a year and a half later. Because I don't remember that part of the story. That didn't happen. Look, there's a lot of reasons why people who absolutely adore big government do not want cryptocurrency to succeed. And that is part of this, I think. But, you know, look, other people, maybe somebody, if you got hyped up by somebody and you bought at the peak, you felt burned by it. But it would have been hard to do. I mean, when looking at it, I mean, cryptocurrency has been around for a long time, unless you selected one of the, you know, couple of months that was at the absolute hype peak. You're actually up currently. And nobody's telling you that. It's a different story.
Yeah. It's 9,000, and I think what is very positive is that no one is telling this story. This is institutional lending or buying, and this is what we said would happen. They would drive the market down, and then they'd quietly get into it, and they'd get rich. Now, really, it might be the time to get into it because it's institutional money.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.